You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
And now it's that time of the week to explore the latest developments in science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and science and technology editor, Ray Johnston. Welcome to NITV Radio again, Ray.
Thanks for having me back. Always great to be here.
Now, this time around, we start with something really amazing. A new test to screen newborns for rare genetic disorders paves the way for earlier diagnosis and treatment.
Yeah, this is really great. A newly developed test to screen for three rare genetic disorders in newborns at the same time has been made, and it works really well, and it's going to start to be included in the heel prick test that they already do on newborns. So this screening will mean earlier diagnosis and treatment, which paves the way for the three disorders to be added to that screening process for the first time. The three disorders that they're testing for, they create varying degrees of intellectual disability, autism, behavioural problems, and seizures as well. About 135 babies are born with one of these disorders each year in Australia, but they're not currently included in the newborn screening programs, and many of them go undiagnosed in the first year of their life. Tests are only performed now on those that are suspected of having the disorders, and then it's only if that's recognised by the child's doctor and then referred to appropriate testing. So yeah, this wouldn't be the case with newborn screening. They'd be able to pick it up immediately, which is great news for all those kids that would be able to get into treatment immediately.
Yeah, no, that's good. So the earlier they can treat them, the better for them. Actually a health growing up. That's a really a good and amazing development.
Yeah, now, it is.
Yeah. And now we're going to something that concerns us all, but then going to lockdowns and pets from lockdown pets to rules roaming our cities, the pandemic impacted animals too. We all just spoke about our human beings, but it goes way, way, way beyond just the human species.
Yeah, and the way that it's affected animals as well is really surprising. You know, COVID-19, it brought the human world to crisis. And there's a new study that's looked at how non-human animals, because we are animals too, are also connected to the pandemic in three significant ways that emerged really early on in the pandemic, actually. So first of all, the fact is that COVID-19 is a zoonotic disease. It reached humans via non-human animal hosts, and animal geographers and others have cast light on the spread and control of animal diseases and on the almost animal, including the microorganism. So there's been a whole range of studies opened up in that area that people are looking at now as well. Second of all, the outbreak is understood to have transferred to humans in a market setting, you know, selling live animals in Wuhan, China. And disputes over the source of the outbreak, they've highlighted the many problems that the sales of animals and the commodification of animals creates. It's a really interesting topic about what impacts it could have on humans and on other animals for us to continue to do things like this. And third, social restrictions. They've seen city streets empty of people in some areas of the world for really long periods of time. And in those quiet moments, unexpected animals entered cities or have become to behave differently. You know, the animals that were already in the cities that relied on human interaction, they've started to behave differently as well. So this also raises questions about, you know, who and what belongs in a city and what role they play. So there's been all studies popping up in that area as well. You know, the lives of human and non-human animals are deeply connected. And the person who wrote about this study in particular that looks at these three points says that we need to do more, you know, relational and political work to more deeply understand those connections between humans and other animals and the implications of those connections as well. So interesting stuff on the horizon, that's for sure.
It's interesting, actually. It will actually lead people to think differently from how they view animals and pets and our own well-being. Well, we're not alone. We have to also consider the other species that around us. Very good research. Because no one would think
Absolutely.
About this kind of left-of-field kind of concern. Yeah.
We had no need to think about them before. You know, the pandemic has forced us to consider things and thinking in new ways that we hadn't even thought of before. And that's the beauty of science as well. You know, it provides us an avenue to be able to critically look at the way the world works and come up with some answers and solutions.
Yeah. And we stay in the animal realm with now citizens being recruited to unlock the secret lives of echidnas. So
yes, this is a wonderful project. So researchers at the University of Adelaide's Environment Institute and members of the general public have recorded the largest number of echidna sightings across Australia, and it's going to really aid in the conservation of this animal. And in Echidna Conservation Science Initiative, which it's called, they call it Echidna CSI, we are essentially recruited as the general public to submit echidna sightings and scats as well, which is echidna poo. And that helps researchers track echidna population changes. And it also engages the public in scientific research and in echidna conservation as well, which is really lovely. And we can all do this. We can all download the free Echidna CSI app on your smartphone. And then you submit photos and information about echidna sightings. And you can also learn how to collect the scats, the feces, for molecular analysis of echidna diet and gut health, reproductive health, and any kind of other stresses that echidnas are going through. Now, since this project began in 2017, this is an amazing fact. More than 11,000 members of the public have downloaded the app and submitted 12,000 echidna sightings from across Australia. And this is equivalent to 25% of all of the echidna sightings listed in the Atlas of Living Australia, which covers more than the past 100 years of data. So since 2017, this app has recorded a quarter of all of echidna sightings in the last 100 years, which just shows how well it's working. And it's important to have this app as well, because the short-beaked echidna, it's one of the most widespread native animals in Australia. It is in such diverse environments, from bushland to snow and desert and tropical regions. And this has made studying echidnas in the wild really problematic. It's really difficult. It's impossible for researchers to collect such a large number of sightings and scats. So taking a citizen science approach, we've been able to recruit thousands of members of the public to collect that data for them. You know, over large areas of land, over large time scales. And some interesting things have come out of it, because researchers expected most sightings to occur close to populated areas because we're relying on people to collect the information. But they didn't anticipate as many echidna sightings either within or immediately surrounding all the major cities in Australia. And this, it raises a number of concerns, because there's very little appropriate habitat or food sources available for echidnas in these environments. And it also increases the risk of echidnas, you know, being hurt, being hit by cars, that kinds of thing. And, you know, unlike the common ring-tailed possum or koalas, and in some cases even the platypus, echidnas haven't been considered an urban native species before. So the researchers are suggesting that because of the findings of this study, there is a need to consider echidnas when we're establishing policies around biodiversity in cities. Yeah. So if you don't have the app yet, get the app, get the Echidna CSI app. And if you come across an echidna, pop it in the app.
No, it sounds really good. And you just mentioned something that I've never heard before. The citizen scientists, you know, we've known citizen journalists now, people going around collecting stories and all that. And now citizen scientists who've actually done more than, as you said, centuries worth of, who've collected centuries worth of data in just a matter of a really short time span. So it means we can all contribute to the evolution of science.
That's right.
Yeah.
Citizen science is fantastic. You know, citizen science is used in almost all fields of science, particularly astronomy. There's a lot of citizen science projects. A lot of things in the stars have been discovered because of general members of the public, not because of trained scientists. So citizen science projects, highly recommend getting involved.
Yeah, definitely. I'll get the app and maybe start, scouting the area around me and see if I can, put in my own little contribution.
Please do.
Yeah. And now one that, will make some people very curious about its development. So how Aussie researchers have actually suggested that cannabis-related content on TikTok is prevalent and may influence the perceptions of the use of cannabis.
Yeah, I think this is something that's important for people to be aware of. And I know that we're at a period of the time where, you know, cannabis is being used for medicinal reasons. It's being legalized in many areas of the world. But it's worth noting that that is under controlled environments and, you know, among the adult population. So when it comes to cannabis use amongst teenagers, researchers are concerned. And they're concerned that they're being exposed to videos on social media, you know, particularly on TikTok at the moment, that are portraying cannabis use as funny and entertaining rather than something that is a medicinal use or potentially risky. And the research, it analysed 881 publicly available videos to work out how cannabis-related content was seen by users. And the research found that 54% of those videos had a positive sentiment and were viewed more than 417 million times, which is a lot. And only 24 of those 881 videos, or 2.7%, warned audiences of the dangers associated with high-frequency cannabis use. And the researchers say that this is concerning because this exposure, it can influence an adolescent's attitudes and potentially lead to problematic cannabis use, you know, which poses the risk of mental health issues or neuropsychological decline. You know, cannabis remains one of the most widely used substances internationally among young people, and it has been linked to an increased risk of depression and suicide in young adulthood. And there's over 1 million young Australians using TikTok. So the researchers are shouting from the rooftops that there is an urgent need for effective age restrictions or warning banners to be placed on publicly available videos depicting substance abuse. And it's worth noting that TikTok has recently made moves to protect young people from risky behaviour online, including removing hashtags explicitly referencing substance abuse. But the videos the researchers are talking about are still publicly available. So awareness needs to be spread and a little bit more work needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely. While I support a little bit of control of this, I also think they should have a balance between really protecting people and the freedom of information at the same time. So this
absolutely
is a balance they should try and strike. Well, Ray Johnston, thank you so much for bringing us again exciting developments in the realm of your daily work, which is novel to you, but novelty to us and to most of our audiences, actually. Thank you so much and have a great weekend.
No, thank you for having me. You too.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids HAPPY ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.